Welcome back, Scaredy Cat. So Ryan, you and I might have met when we recorded, I think it was the second or third Scaredy Cats episode, which was The Descent.
I feel like it was three. Yeah.
But I think it's safe to say that we actually bonded over a horror video game.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So that's what we're going to talk about today, is horror video games. I'm excited.
All right. Me too. I have such a tense history with video games because I am, as you know, a scaredy cat. But especially when it comes to games, they're so scary.
Yeah, I agree. Like, there are things that I can't finish watching. If you put it in movie form, I would have no problem with it. I mean playing. I wonder why that is. Like, what do you think?
Well, for me, it's like I'm controlling the person that's in peril. So it's like, I know that you can't die. You can't really die from it, but it's like, you're responsible. It's not scripted like a movie. It's like, you could die right now or you could survive. And it's up to you to determine how that goes. And that's too much pressure, man. That's so scary.
That is a lot of pressure. Yeah. It's your fault if, oh my God, why can't I think of his name? Oh my God, the guy
Alan
from
Resident Wake.
Alan Wake. Is, that's a good
Leon
example.
Kennedy.
Yeah, if Leon dies, it's all on you. It's true. That's very true. Yeah, it just feels so much more immersive to that point as well. Like, I feel like because it's happening to you, especially if you're playing on a computer or you're playing with headphones on. And although I will say, you were the first person to recommend watching a specific, very specific movie, listening to headphones, and that made it even scarier.
Hereditary,
yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, the soundtrack in that movie is so creepy.
I'm just going to give a little quick rundown about horror video games, and then we can kind of talk about ones that we love. So it seems to be kind of universally accepted that Haunted House from 1972 is the first horror video game. And it was made for a console called Magnavox Odyssey.
Okay. I might have heard of that, but...
Really? I've never heard of this game or this console, but apparently it predated Atari, so it was kind of the first gaming console. And then the 70s and 80s saw a lot of text-based games. Obviously, they didn't have a lot of the capabilities visually that we have now with video games. And movie adaptations. So there was a Friday the 13th adaptation, there was a Halloween adaptation... But then in 1988, there was an arcade game called Splatterhouse. Have you heard of this game?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So it's been described as an 80s B horror movie made into a video game. And basically, you're just this guy who teams up with some demonic mask and you're walking through a house trying to kill all these villains to save your girlfriend. So then in the 90s, I think is really where horror games kind of came into their own. What is the very first horror game you remember playing?
Well, I remember being very scared of the Rugrats video game because there's a level where you have to sneak through the house at night and these ghosts kind of float at you. So you have to shine your flashlight at them. So that was always really scary for me. Now, I'm a child, as we've established, so my intro into horror games was really around, like, the Silent Hill 3 era, which I'm going to talk about later. So I definitely got way into Silent Hill. I considered that franchise to be, like, my first dip into horror video games ever. But then also I had a school friend around that same time let me borrow Haunting Ground, which is a PS2 horror game, which is really scary, I thought.
What is the premise of that game? Do you remember?
I think as far back as I can remember, you play this girl who wakes up in this castle. I think maybe she got into like a car accident or something and she was taken to this castle and she has to escape. And of course, there's people that want to keep her there. They only provide the skimpiest of outfits for her to run around in.
Of course.
And I think she makes friends with the dog. So.
Ah, interesting. Okay. I think the first horror game that I remember Resident Evil coming out. I don't remember ever playing Resident Evil until later in the franchise. But I remember playing Silent Hill, the first Silent Hill. And I found an emulator of it today and was playing it. It's really hard.
It's hard and it's too scary.
Yeah.
Too scary to play.
Like, I'm just walking down this street and I end up in this fenced in area and there's blood everywhere and there's things hanging from the fences. And then I got attacked by two things. I couldn't even see what they were, but they killed me like so fast.
Yeah. To make you feel better, though, I think you are supposed to die at that part. Like, you can't get out of it.
Oh.
There's a scripted thing at the beginning of the Silent Hill game where you pretty much have to die to trigger the next, like, cutscene.
So. Really? I don't even remember that. Okay, that does make me feel better. I think I'll go back to that. Emulators are hard to play, though, I find. Like, it's not the same as playing on a console or a PC, I feel like.
Yeah, agreed.
So you said the first one that you played was Silent Hill 3?
3, yes.
All right. And what was your experience with that like?
So should I just get into it?
Yeah, get into it.
Okay, because I was going to talk a little bit just about Silent Hill generally, because there is some new Silent Hill coming up on the horizon, finally, after years. So, yeah, Silent Hill, the first one came out in 1999, and it was inspired by Resident Evil, which are like the two big horror franchises, I feel.
Yeah.
Silent Hill, Resident Evil, they're very different in my mind. Which one do you prefer?
I think probably Silent Hill, although the latter chapters of Resident Evil, but I mm-hmm. love them. So, but I think Resident Evil is more survival horror. Silent Hill is just really, really terrifying. I don't even know what it would be classified as.
The first two games, I would say, are just really extreme psychological horror.
Yeah.
And they kind of lose that as it goes on. But yeah, my whole life growing up, I've been Team Silent Hill. I'm always like, fuck Resident Evil. They're so campy. They're so over the top. It's all like too action-y for me. Leon Kennedy in Resident Evil 4 when he says, "Where'd everyone go? Bingo?" or something like that. So it's just like, come on, Leon. But I agree with you. Resident Evil has done a good job of kind of like rebranding itself a little bit and mm-hmm. going back to its roots. And especially with 7, where it kind of had that almost like single location setting and that big giant house and that property. That was really kind of like a cool take it back to the first game that takes place in this big mansion. And then 8, of course, kind of ups the campiness a little bit, but it works for it. And it's a super cool game. And Silent Hill has not rebranded itself in the same way. And they're working on a comeback, but I'm not enthusiastic about it. I'm very skeptical of it, which I'll get to. But basically, starting off, Silent Hill was inspired by Resident Evil. Konami, the studio that put it together, they wanted basically this team to make a new Resident Evil that would appeal to Western audiences, that would be almost more like a blockbuster, that type of vibe. But as development went on, for whatever reason, they kind of lost faith in the project, and the people who were in charge of it, who would become known as Team Silent, they just kind of started doing their own thing with it because they kind of felt like they were on their own with the project. So they decided, instead of having this, Hollywood feeling, big, epic horror story like Resident Evil, they wanted to make something a little more psychological, introspective. And a big part of that was having a protagonist that is just kind of like a normal dude. Whereas, in Resident Evil and video games broadly, the protagonist, especially back then, was usually someone who was skilled, like that would have guns on them, cop, soldier, tough guy, whatever. Silent Hill,
everyday person.
You're just a dad looking for his kid. So that kind of added an element to it. and it was a success. People really responded to that. So Silent Hill 2 went into production, and that came out for the PS2. And then, of course, that Silent Hill 2 is considered, I would say, by most to be the best game in the franchise. It is, I think, genuinely, it's a masterpiece of psychological horror just from the story alone. It's such a scary story. And I don't want to spoil anything because there's a remake coming out, which I'm kind of mad is happening. Because Silent Hill 2 is just, I don't know. It's tricky to talk about remakes with games. Like, I know Resident Evil has been doing that a lot, with success. Like, the Resident Evil 2 remake and then the 4 remake, which just came out last year, have done really, really well and have been well received. But Silent Hill 2 was such a... It's such a weird thing because it was so inspired by like Twin Peaks and David Lynch and stuff, that kind of like old vibe of the hardware and like the weird voice acting, it kind of helped the game, I thought, and like the kind of weird controls. But I don't know. We'll see. Did you ever play Silent Hill 2?
I think I only played the first Silent Hill, to be honest.
Okay.
I think for me, the game that got me into horror gaming was Eternal Darkness on Nintendo GameCube. Have you ever played that?
No, but I have heard of it.
So it is was only on GameCube, came out in 2002, and it's very like Lovecraftian. So it is basically this woman, she goes to her, I think it's her grandfather's house after he dies, and all these weird, creepy things start happening to her, and you go back and forth and you play in different like times. It'd be funny if I'm totally remembering this wrong, but that's what I remember. But it's very psychological horror, and it will do things like you be playing and as your sanity drops, so you have a life meter, but you also have a sanity meter. Yeah.
And I was just going to ask you if that was the game.
Yes. Yeah. So as your sanity drops, like different things will start happening, and you'll like the walls will start bleeding in the game. Or there's a famous one that never happened to me, but there is one where like the game will literally shut off and it'll like go to like some weird glitch screen and say that something's happened and your game has ended. But yeah, it's just, so you've got magic and it's just, it's very, very cool. I never finished it because it terrified me and I could only play it in small spurts. And I still have my GameCube and I still have it somewhere. So I should kind of dig it up and play it again.
You still have your GameCube.
I still have my GameCube. Yes, I do. I do. Yeah.
Wow.
It's not hooked up. It's like in a box somewhere. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, Silent Hill 2 generally considered the best in the franchise and kind of downhill from there. I do know that Silent Hill 3 is my personal favorite just because it's the one I have the most memories of and the most experience with. But I do know that, you know, I can appreciate that Silent Hill 2 is probably better in terms of like the story and the nuance. A lot of what's good about Silent Hill 2 is that like everything means something in that game. So it's like the monsters represent something about the character you're playing, James. It says something about him that you find out later, and it's all like all this weird stuff. And Silent Hill 3 is definitely less than that. There's a female protagonist, her name is Heather, and she is more outspoken, and it's kind of more of like a direct sequel to the first Silent Hill game, so there's less like psychological symbolism. But It was such a great game and such a good looking game too. Like those games, that was the thing about the Silent Hill games too. They were always so good for their time. Like Silent Hill 2 was amazing at the time. Silent Hill 3, I think, still looks pretty good for a PlayStation 2 game. Yeah, I loved it. And then I think from there, the whole franchise goes kind of downhill and I lose a lot of information for it. I don't know a lot about the later games because they've all been super disappointing to me. Silent Hill 4, The Room was the follow-up. And I did not like that. That was kind of my exit point. It was very different from the others. And there was this widespread rumor at the time that still kind of persists today that Silent Hill 4 started as a different game altogether. And they kind of reworked it to fit into Silent Hill. But I don't think that's actually true. I think it was intended a Silent Hill game, but there were so many changes that maybe it should have been something different. I don't know. But yeah, and then around that time, the dog shit movie adaptation came out.
I was just going to ask you if your feelings about the movie.
Have you seen it?
I have, yes. Yes.
What do you think about it?
I don't remember it, so I'm going to say that probably speaks to the quality of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I think some Silent Hill fans were pleased with the visual aspect of the adaptation. There is, there's a lot of fan service in there for fans, and they got the look right, and they scored the movie with only music from the video games. Which, by the way, the video game series is iconic for its music because the composer has pretty much consistently stayed with the franchise throughout. I should know the name. Akira Yamaoka, I think that's it. I'm pretty sure that's it. I was just doing some light research earlier. But yeah, the music is good in that movie. It looks kind of cool for a 2006 movie. But other than that, yeah, I think it was just not a good movie.
Yeah, I definitely remember kind of the overall feel of the movie in terms of the setting, and I did enjoy that, but I don't remember anything about the story, so I'm gonna guess that it did not make much of an impact.
No, I didn't care for it, and anything that came after it, really. There's been so many different Silent Hill spinoffs. I know there was an Origins PSP game, which, okay, now that I'm thinking about that, that was not a terrible game. I did kind of like that one. It had this cool feature. So, you know, the whole thing about Silent Hill is the sirens go off and then it gets dark and everything turns into this rusty, burned other world. Right. Silent Hill Origins had a feature where you actually, in order to progress and solve some in-game puzzles, you had to actually choose to go into the other world, which was kind of cool and scary because it's like, you know, you're doing something scary. Yeah, and then there was Silent Hill Homecoming, which sucked. Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which I didn't even play because it was on the Wii. And Silent Hill Downpour, which also kind of sucked. And now apparently we're getting all this new stuff, two new Silent Hill games, plus the Silent Hill 2 remake, plus the guy who made the first Silent Hill adaptation is doing an adaptation of Silent Hill 2, which I'm nervous about.
Interesting.
So who knows where that's going to go, but I'm hesitant. Okay. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Now, isn't there a Silent Hill kind of inspired game that you're a big fan of? Or is it not inspired by Silent Hill? I thought it was inspired by Silent Hill. Maybe it's not.
What would that be? What's the game?
P.T.?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, we got to talk about P.T. So, I feel like I'm monologuing here, so I'll be quick.
No, monologue away.
Yeah, so 2014 comes, and they drop this this random teaser without any fanfare or anything. They drop it on the PlayStation Store, and it's free, so you can download it and play this teaser, and it was just called PT. So this game is, you wake up in a house, and you don't know anything. It looks so freaking good. It's like being in a real house, and it's first person and everything. So you're walking through, and then you just find out that it loops. So you open a door, and then you're back at the beginning of the hallway in this house. And it is like the scariest game I've ever played in my life. I think I genuinely, a lot of people were saying, it was one of the best games of 2014, and it wasn't even a game. It was just this thing that they uploaded. It was so scary, though. It was so good. And then if you played through the entire teaser, which was really hard to do because it has a really obtuse way to solve it, But you'd basically be greeted with like this this teaser for the new Silent Hills game that they were working on. And so that was like a just a big cryptic way to tease like, hey, we're working on a new Silent Hill game with Hideo Kojima, who made the Metal Gear Solid games, Death Stranding, other stuff. Death Stranding 2 is in the works. He did that. And yeah, he was going to make this game with Norman Reedus and I think Guillermo del Toro. And then there was some sort of big blow up falling out with Kojima and Konami. So the whole project got canceled. Konami wiped PT from the PlayStation Store. You can't play it anywhere now. Anytime somebody like posts a remake for the PC, they take it down pretty quick. So now the only way you can play PT is like if you just happen to have it on your PS4 and didn't remove the download. So if you still have it downloaded on your system, you can play it. And I actually have PT on my PS4 still. Not to brag, but
do you have you played it?
I still have it. Yeah, it's not scary for me anymore because it's such like a contained experience. Like right. It's really only that one time, but it is so scary that I would recommend anybody, like you can just look it up on YouTube, look up a playthrough of PT without commentary, without anybody talking over it. And it's just like the scariest thing you will ever see. It's horrifying.
It's like, it feels like an urban legend to me because I've heard you talk about it so much, but I've never seen it. I know it exists. I know it's not truly an urban legend, but that's just how it feels to me.
Well, and I think, that adds to all the mystique about it. Yeah. Like they are trying to scrub it from history, which sucks because it was something that was so good. And so it is kind of like a ghost story in that way. It's like disappearing from history as PS4s get older and older. It's just not going to be available one day, which is sad.
You know, and how long would it take to play it?
Half an hour, if that. It's intense. It's really intense. That's kind of where we're at with Silent Hill. I mean, I could talk about it forever. There's so many hallmarks of the series that I'm sure everyone is familiar with. You mentioned Pyramid Head. There's also the hot nurses.
Yes.
That are also scary.
Pyramid Head. I could not for the life of me remember that. I don't know why.
Triangle Head.
That's not it. That's not it. Nice. Okay. So Resident Evil, quickly just to touch on the game, the movies. What are your thoughts about the Resident Evil movies?
I can't stomach the movies. I know the first one is on like Netflix or something right now. So yeah. I was like, this might be fun to put on, like if you're a little bit high and just want to like kind of laugh at the early 2000s action zombie vibe. But no, they were never my thing. And I did not really start to appreciate the Resident Evil franchise at all until 7 came out. And that's when I was kind of like, okay. And then I kind of went back and took a look at the remakes. And I think Resident Evil, the first one, I did like that one. I did play that one years ago. Resident Evil 2, Mr. X is terrifying. Oh my gosh. Resident Evil 4, I know it's like a classic and considered one of the best games of all time, but it wasn't for me. It was too like run and gun, I think.
How do you have such a great memory? Like you're just like bring like all these characters that you just remember their names. I'm like, I don't remember that at all. So, but no. I'm impressed.
There's something useful in here, but
that's not true. I feel like, and we've talked about this before because there was a game that we played for a very little bit, but it was so intense and it just like was too much for us. And I cannot, Back for Blood. It was Back for Blood, wasn't it?
Oh yes. Yeah.
And I feel very, even though it's a different type of game, I feel kind of that way about early Resident Evil games is that they are just too much for me where I'm like, I can't, they're too intense, too much being thrown at me at once. And so, especially I think 4 was the one that really got into the action horror, right?
Yes. Yeah, I remember one of my dad's friends actually brought Resident Evil 4 over and was playing it, and I was like, well, this is just like too many zombies. Mm-hmm. they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's a little more arcadey in that way, which I guess I can appreciate now. But
yeah.
But coming from Silent Hill, where it's like it's a quiet type of horror, and then Resident Evil just does the opposite of that, which I think is cool and fair.
Yep. Nice. Did you ever play Dead Space? Also came out around the same time. I think Resident Evil 4 came out in 2005, Dead Space 2008.
Okay. I never played Dead Space.
I played Dead Space a little bit, and it is so scary. There's something about space horror that just hits differently for me. It's probably because I'm already afraid of space. Like, I'm like, why would anybody want to go into space? But like, I think of, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, the Alien Isolation game.
Oh yeah.
But Dead Space also, like, you end up on this you end up on like a spaceship or like a space station, and mm-hmm. it's deserted, or you think it's deserted, but it's not, and there are monsters lurking, and it's terrifying, and it's you have nowhere to go. You are literally stuck on this space station, and you're trying to get away from these, I want to say they're zombies, but they're not zombies. Again, not a game I finished, because I get so scared with exactly. horror games that I cannot finish them.
Yeah.
And that is one that I'm like, I don't really know what happens, because I got so scared that I stopped playing it. And then I was like, I need to get back to that, but have not yet. So we're both really bad for finishing games, aren't we?
We are. We are. I'm always looking for like what it is that's really going to grab me with the game. I don't know, but I was also thinking when you mentioned Dead Space, I mean, just so much of horror is just all about like, how can we get the enemies and the characters just confined to one yes. space where no one can come in to help them and they can't just leave.
Yep.
And space is such a good setting for that.
Yes.
Especially with Alien Isolation, which is one of the best and worst games ever.
It's so scary. Speaking of which, did I tell you I'm going to see Alien and Aliens on the big screen this week?
That is so fun. I'm so jealous.
I'm so excited. So let's talk a little bit about Alien Isolation, since we had that nice little segue there. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, generally, I feel like I mentioned this on this podcast before, some of my favorite type of horror is just playing hide and seek with a killer. I mean, it sounds weird, but it's like, that's the best, because it's just like this fun game of cat and mouse that you get to watch play out. But in Alien Isolation, you have to play that game. And mm-hmm. you can't kill the alien. You can kind of scare it off temporarily once you get some better weapons later on, but you can't kill the alien. So really all what you do for a big portion of that game is you have to sneak from point A to point B, do this objective, get this key, get this thing that you need to help, whatever. And this alien with really, really good video game AI is just kind of wandering around the level. And if you're caught, you're fucked. And also there's terrifying androids.
Oh, the androids are just as scary as
they're the worst.
As the alien. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first time I was playing it and I saw an android and I was like, oh, they're going to help me. And no, they do not. They are vicious and they will take you down and probably more brutally than the alien. Like when the alien catches you, you're just done. But yes. like when the androids catch you, it is not over so quickly for you.
No. And they do this really creepy thing, because in the movies it's always this big thing of like, oh, I didn't know that character was an android, because they're just like a human actor. But for the game, you have to know that they're an android, so they look like robots. And I think the justification they give, it's like, oh, well, this company isn't really ahead in the AI race. So they're these creepy bald robots with these glowing eyes.
Yeah.
They're very terrifying. But I just love it. And that game is so good because the ship, everything in that game is so well designed, and it channels like that first game so mm-hmm. perfectly, with like the retro future look and all the like thick pipes everywhere and the green text over black computers.
Mm-hmm.
They just made it look so much like the movie, which is just a really great thing. It's like going into one of your favorite horror movies and just experiencing how scary that would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And like the hiding. So to your point, like sometimes you have to hide, you can't just hide it out. Like you have to get from point A to point B. But when you are hiding, when you're in a locker and you're just looking through that, like those like grates in the locker, it's mm-hmm. so scary. And you're just like holding your breath. And then you get out that little thing that tells you if anything's nearby.
Oh, yeah.
When that goes off, like, oof.
On the higher difficulties, that thing doesn't work.
Oh.
So you're screwed.
Oh, no. Yeah, I've never played it on a higher difficulty, clearly.
Me either. I've just watched.
It's funny, when I was playing the Silent Hill emulator today, I thought to myself, I'm like, yeah, this is before the days when you would pick, like, you know, explorer mode, where it was like you're gonna get the story but not as much, you know, difficulty, I guess. But okay, so I'm gonna ask you about another game that I know you love.
Okay.
Do you have something to say first? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I thought I had something about Alien Isolation to add. It's such a good game, and I'm so excited for Alien Romulus because it looks like an adaptation of that game.
It does. Yeah.
And I love the 2013 Evil Dead so much. So I'm just really hoping that I just want it to be Alien Isolation, the game, the movie.
I know. I have such high hopes for it. That trailer looks incredible.
Yes.
It looks so good.
Cannot wait. All right. What's next?
The Last of Us.
Ugh. This is torture because I know you haven't played the game. You've seen the show, but you haven't played part two.
I haven't. Ugh. It's okay. You can go ahead and spoilers ahead if you want to spoil. So I'm okay with spoilers. It's okay.
I might not spoil, but
okay.
I mean, I don't even know what to say about them, really. Just they're so, it's so crazy what video games have become. Like, if you could just go back in time to when they were making the first Resident Evil game and just show them, like, a clip of The Last of Us Part 2, like, I don't know. And I wouldn't call The Last of Us, like, a pure horror game. There are some spooky moments. There are some enemies that are horror-ish and some levels that kind of go lean into that a little more. So I was able to play and beat both of those games without getting too scared. So I think it's doable for anyone if I can do it. But those games, I mean, games have just become so cinematic mm-hmm. now. And the stories that they tell, it's like the direct opposite of something like Resident Evil, where they kind of lean into that video game campiness. And The Last of Us goes for something just so grounded and realistic and relatable. And both ways of doing that work. Like, The Last of Us made me cry and sob. Just, like, I'm not going to spoil part two because I think it's so special. But just, like, when you're doing that last, like, boss fight, you're basically just, like, mashing the controller, crying, like, don't make me do this. I don't want to do it. It's really intense. Last of Us Part 2 might be my favorite game of all time. It's just, it's so good. I can't even say enough good things about it. And it's so fun, too. That's the thing. Like, everyone talks about the story of The Last of Us, but it's a really fun game.
That's a hefty statement to say it's your might be your favorite game of all time.
I can't find anything wrong with that game. Like, genuinely. It's just great. You've seen season one of the show. It is almost exactly like the game. So just jump into part two. There's no way
just get that PlayStation and play.
Yeah, season two of the show is not going to be able to cover the whole game. So it's going to be a while before you get that story. And it's such a good story.
All right. Okay, we've covered a lot. Like, we've covered Silent Hill, Resident Evil.
Yep. There's two big ones.
The Last of Us. What are your thoughts on games like Dead by Daylight? I know what your thoughts are on games like Dead by Daylight, but...
Yeah, those games aren't for me. I'm not competitive. And that type of game just gets me so flustered, where it's just like my hands are shaking too much, where I can't be like, okay, now I gotta do this. Like, I can't take on that amount of stress. Because, yeah, like, horror games are already so much scarier than horror movies. And now when you take in the fact that it's like, oh, that's a real person being Leatherface, it's not like the AI of the game is chasing me. It's like, that's some fucking crazy guy who loves chasing people. Like, yeah.
I'm never going to be able to play it again.
No. Those games are not for me. I think they're really fun games to watch, though, especially when you're watching someone who's like kind of good at that type of thing.
Yeah.
They're fun to watch, but yeah, I can't get my hands into that.
I don't mind them. I'm terrible at them. You've seen me play them. I am not good at them. Every once in a while, though, I'm like, this sounds like something I want to do. I think I'm better as a survivor than a killer. I think, hopefully. And now that I'm thinking about the psychological ramifications of the people that choose to be Leatherface. Yeah, I think it, for me, it's more that I'm like, ooh, I can play as like Laurie Strode, and that's where I enjoy it. And I like being able to play with friends. I find horror games with friends are a lot less scary to me than when you're playing by yourself.
That's a good point.
That being said, we've played some scary games together, so.
Yes, we have. Yeah, it's true. I can do a lot of horror game multiplayer games. That takes a lot of the fear out. But with like stuff like Dead by Daylight, it's that competitive aspect of it that really stresses me out.
It just also feels like you're on such a timer, right?
And yes. Yeah.
You have to get these things done, which I guess is the competitive nature of it, but you have to get these things done before the other person does. It is very, very stressful. Awesome. Should we start talking about some more modern games?
Let's do it. Yep.
Okay, so we talked about Dead by Daylight. That came out in 2016. So a lot has happened for horror gaming, I would say, just in like the 2020s. Like a lot of kind of smaller indie games, or at least that I'm aware of. Like there was a lot more before that, but I just never played them. But we started hanging out because of a game called Phasmophobia.
Mm-hmm. The OG ghost hunting game.
There's a lot of imitators now.
Yeah, some are good, which I guess we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, Phasmophobia, I saw it popping up on like YouTube, or streamers, you know, would play it. And I watched a little bit of that and I was so fascinated by it. I remember I saw you tweeted something about a horror game. So I messaged you. I was like, hey, would you play this with me? Because I can't play it by myself. And I know we fell off of that game because it's just transformed into something completely different now. But back when it was like new and exciting, that was such a fun, scary time.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I remember the first time we played it for like 6 hours straight. And we're like, is it really like 2:30 in the morning?
Yes. Burning hot laptop on my legs. Yeah.
So what do you think it was about it that like hooked us right away?
So there's a random nature to it. So for anyone who has not played Phasmophobia, basically how it works is you are on a team of ghost hunters and you got your equipment in your truck, and then you go to these different locations, houses, there's a school, hospital, a campground, other houses. I know that they had plans for a lighthouse map and some other cool stuff. And you just use your equipment and you have to like figure out where is the ghost, and you have to interact with the ghost in order to figure out what type of ghost it is. And the longer you are there, the lower your sanity drops. The ghost can hunt and potentially kill you if it catches you, but you can't always see it. So for me, what's so cool about Phasmophobia starting out is when we would just be in this dark house and it would be so quiet, and then you would just, we would all be just like waiting and listening, and then you would hear like a cup get knocked over or something, and it's like, oh my god, it's over there.
Noise.
Yeah, or then something even scarier, like a ghost just popping up in front of you. That was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did such a great job. And I think at the time it was one person that was behind the game. I think they've expanded the team a little more now, but there were, I think, 5 ghosts to begin with, and they were terrifying. Like, there was the grudge noise.
Mm-hmm.
The things that we would do to try and get that ghost to interact with us. Like, I remember Jer one time being like, could you stop yelling at Karen? Like, seriously?
Yes.
Because you'd be like, Karen, talk to me, Karen. And we said we trash talked those ghosts pretty hard. But I feel like anytime there's an update, we still go back and we're like, okay, we got to check out the update. So when the lighthouse finally does come out, I will be there for sure. But we are the type of people, like, I've seen people play and the ghost is hunting. And they won't hide. They just run around and hope that they outrun the ghost. Whereas, like, when we play, we're like, I am hiding in this closet. We are not moving until this ghost hunts, and then until the hunt is over.
And then we sprint for the exit.
We load up on sanity pills. But yeah, it was something that was just so scary. And some really unexpected things happened. And even still, a more recent update was when they added the light bulbs, like, smashing, or the room turning red. And, like, things like that are just scary. And we played so much that you would think it would lose its effectiveness, but it didn't. Like, it just would still terrify me.
Yeah. There was that whole, like, randomness of it, which worked really well. And, yeah, there were some great scary moments I can remember. There was this one time when we were, like, hiding somewhere, like, in the corner of some room behind a tote or something. And then I turn on my flashlight and I'm like, Sherry, has that teddy bear always been sitting there looking at us? And you were like, nope. That was awful. Mm-hmm. Did not know that could happen.
And I think we'd been trash talking the teddy bear earlier, hadn't we? And so I was like, there's no way that happened because we were saying those things, but it just,
The scary thing about it when we were first starting out the game too is that it wasn't always clear when the ghost was hunting. So, like, we would be standing in, like, this creepy dark kitchen, just kind of, like, waiting. And then we would just, our lights would start flickering, which is, like, a telltale sign that it's going to get you. That was always just terrifying, thrilling.
I highly recommend, if you have not played Phasmophobia, that you give it a try, because it is a lot of fun. I would recommend also playing with friends. I think it's more fun than playing with random strangers, but that's also, I think, who both of us are, where we'd be like, I would rather play with somebody I already know than a random stranger. But, so then Phasmophobia, like you said, the OG ghost hunting game. But then we started playing a game called Forewarned,
which I think is better, even though it's basically like a Phasmophobia ripoff a little bit. Like, it borrows heavily that basic formula. But I love Forewarned. I think it's scarier. It's still fun to play to this day, even though we got a little weary with Phasmophobia. And the way they started updating that game, I think, was catered more towards, like, keeping the active players engaged, so it's gotten way harder. There's all these, like, challenges now, but Forewarned is basically Phasmophobia that takes place in various Egyptian tombs. And it's terrifying.
It is terrifying. So same thing, you have to find different evidence to prove what kind of magi is what they instead of ghosts, they have magi, figure out what kind of magi you're dealing with. They now have a banishing ritual, which I think Phasmophobia may be considered doing. I'm not sure, but they did not end up doing anything like that. I think the Medjai are just like terrifying. So once you figure out what it is, the Medjai will materialize. And I think the way that they did that is like a step above Phasmophobia. So like you've got these different Medjai, but they will show themselves in different ways and you have to try and like deal with them. Or I guess not deal with them. You have to try and escape from the tomb knowing what their strengths and weaknesses are. So like,
yeah.
There's Necref, who you can't see unless you're using a tablet. Or sorry, can you see him when you're?
You can.
But yeah. He can't see you if you're, he reacts to light, right? So you have to use a tablet, you have to use like night vision and not look at him. He's got these chains that he drags around. Euphrys is, I think, one of our favorites as well. And Euphrys will look like one of the characters that's playing. So usually looks like my avatar, apparently.
Yeah, which is so scary.
And we'll just walk around and like talks through the walkie-talkies that you have and like tries to lure you, which I think makes her even scarier. Like she's terrifying. Yeah. And then if she starts to whistle, then you're in serious trouble, which... yeah, like I love the differentiation of the Medjai.
Me too. And it goes back to that whole thing I was saying earlier about just like basically those games of hide and seek, because there's like the preliminary investigation part where we're gathering evidence of what it is, and that's scary in itself because there's a lot of those like random haunting incidents like Phasmophobia that just really get you. But then it's like you knowingly have to unleash this thing and then evade it while trying to get to your next part of the goal, which is banishment. So it's always so fun, and the maps are randomly generated, which keeps it a little bit fresh. Yeah. So you can't like memorize the way or anything. And they even included like puzzles for you to solve at the end to like, you know, get to the chamber where you can banish it. So I will say Phasmophobia's updates have consistently been disappointing for me.
Yeah.
And all of Forewarns have consistently made the game better.
Yeah. And even like they've added some new kind of horror elements to it. And like some of them are like, there's a ghost that will now pick you up and like carry you throughout the map.
Yeah.
And you don't always see it. Like I feel like in Phasmophobia, generally you will see the same things over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But in like Forewarned, you could go so many rounds without seeing the same thing over and over again. There's something I don't even remember. We play with another friend and I think he walked into something once. He never seen it again. Like, and we've never seen it. I think he walked into one of those when you respawn, those little arches that you come out of. He walked into one of those and something weird happened.
Oh.
But I've never seen it. He's never seen it since. So, yeah. Hmm. I like that. I like that it seems far more random.
Yes.
Should we talk about the forest? Oh, you were going to say something?
No, I'm ready for the forest.
All right, let's talk about the forest.
Well, the forest is a 2014, I think, is when it originally went into early access. It's an open world survival horror game published by Endnight, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it left early access in 2018. And the Forest was the game that got me into PC gaming. Like, I discovered the Forest and I wanted to play this game so bad that I saved up at my job to get my first gaming laptop. And I put hundreds of hours into the Forest over the years. It is still one of my favorites. Like, I just have a lot of special memories of it. I was already a seasoned Forest veteran when I finally made you all play it.
You were. You'd finished it before, right? I think.
Yes. Yeah. And the whole reason I discovered this game is actually funny, because I wanted to do some art based on one of my favorite movies ever, The Descent. way back in 2014. So I was just kind of like Googling images of The Descent, just kind of like swiping through. And then I saw this one that said like, new horror game channels The Descent and Cannibal Holocaust. So I was like, what's this? I gotta see. And it was The Forest, which is inspired by The Descent in a lot of ways. So yeah, basically you are a plane crash survivor on this, not quite an island, but this stretch of deserted mountainous North American land, and you just have to survive. You have to grow food, hunt food, get water, build shelters. There's a lot of fun, creative building, which I love in games. And the island is inhabited by mutated cannibals who are human-ish, but always want to kill you. And there is a complex network of cave systems underneath the island where even more fucked up versions of these monsters live. And there's like a mystery that you can solve and like a little story to piece together. Such a great game.
Yeah, I remember playing it for one of my extra life marathons, and I got through the first night and I was like, I can't do this. I can't. Like, I was kidnapped by some cannibals, woke up hanging upside down. And then I was like, I'm done. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until we started playing together that I was like, okay, this isn't so bad. I can do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something about it that it's such a great combination of the survival horror with like you having to survive these cannibals, but also to your point about the building, like, I know that's your forte. You love the building, but it's also just, I enjoy it too. Like, I love the, I'm not good at it, but when I'm like, I am going to build my little house in my own like solo version of the forest. There's just something so satisfying about it. And you're like, look at me homesteading. And meanwhile, I would die after a day if I were really in a forest like that. But yeah, it's just this great balance of that. And then the scary, scary parts of these cannibals. And the story's weird and delightful.
And the great thing about it, too, is that the whole story aspect is completely optional. Like, you kind of discover it through exploring.
Yeah.
And you can decide where to take it. But yeah, I love it. And it's one of those games that's so weird. Like, when I play it multiplayer with you, I'm not really scared at all. Like, a cannibal might kind of like pop out of the bushes and scare me. And I'm like, oh, but then I can just, you know, headshot it immediately and it's fine. But when you're playing by yourself, there's like this very unique horror about it that is not in other games, where it's just like you're in the middle of a forest. Mm-hmm. And I'm always like, when I'm playing that game by myself, I can't even build because I'm always like looking through the trees, seeing if I'm seeing anything walk around, because you can just like bump right into them because the forest is so dense. You could just like walk into one of them and it's terrifying every time. And it's also creepy that they don't always attack you first either. They'll just kind of hang out and watch
scouting,
which is almost worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's the horror of the forest it's a super lonely game, which I like, mm-hmm. kind of in the same way that something like Portal is lonely because you're like the only human in this big facility, yet you feel watched. So it's kind of similar to that.
Right. Nice. Yeah. I still have not finished The Forest on my own, and I don't know that I ever will. Yeah, you're right. There's something about it. Like, you just feel so isolated. And I feel like you're just so much more immersed in the story when you're playing by yourself, because that's the point of the game, right? You're supposed to be alone in this forest trying to survive, and you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's happened to you. And at first, you have, like, no weapons. I think you have your plain axe. That's the only thing you have initially, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it's a good thing that the cannibals just watch you for a little bit until you can level up your weapons. But yeah, it's so good. It's such a great game.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Yeah, same. And then recently, a sequel to it came out, Sons of the Forest.
Yeah, it came out. It sure did. And it is a game.
It is. It is. I know we were really, really looking forward to this game. Like, we were, like,
so excited.
Hyped. And our initial reactions to the game were disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I think we were overwhelmed, too. Like, it is a massive game. So, the forest already, yes. Like, it was a big map. Like, there was a lot of ground to explore.
Yeah.
But compared to Sons of the Forest, that map now seems minuscule because Sons of the Forest, it's just absolutely massive.
Yeah. And in a lot of ways, Sons of the Forest is just the forest with, you know, new visuals. It looks better. Mm-hmm. The map is extremely, like, I think, what, 4 times the size of the first game's map?
Yeah.
But there's something about it that just isn't as good as the first one. And some of it, like, we can definitely point a finger to it. It's like, oh, in the first game you could do this, which was nice. And in the second game, you can't. But there's also something that's just harder to put into words. Like, it's still kind of scary, but it's not as scary. The enemies mm-hmm. seem stupider.
Like, yeah, even though they were supposed to be smarter. The way they hyped the game. Yeah.
But they do, like, the same thing every time. They just, you build, and then they run up and try to destroy your house, and you fight them off, and then it just repeats.
There's more variation of the enemies. Like, you don't get the same, but I feel like they still do pretty much the same thing. Although, I know we really liked they're like demons or something, demon mutants or something. Because you actually get a cross, and the cross can actually set them mm-hmm. on fire.
And neither of us have beat this game yet, so I'm not really sure what to make of that. Or how that really plays into it or whatever. But yeah, there's something to it that's fun. I think the building in that game it's a very different building system. It's fun. I like it. I love building in games. But overall, the Sons of the Forest was a real letdown. And the way it was presented to us, too, was infuriating because the developers, they don't say much on social media. Like, they've never really said that much. Like, the only time they ever tweet or anything is just when it's like, here's a new trailer for our game. So, yeah, we go all this time thinking that the game was coming out on this day, and they delayed it multiple times. And then they're like, it's coming out on this day. Here's the final trailer, blah, blah, blah. Well, then 2-3 weeks out from that release date, they said, hey, by the way, now it's going to be an early access, which was like, they just decided right before release, oh, it's going to be an early access. So what ended up releasing was stripped of a lot of the features that the trailers had been promising up to that point. And it could do a lot less than what the first game could do.
Yeah.
And they continued updating it. And now it's to the point where we're past the 1.0 release. It is the finished game. I know that they have still put out some updates with, like, bug fixes and things like that. But the finished game is just not what I thought it was. And I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that the map is just not fun to be in. It's not fun to navigate or move around in. Like, their solution to the giant map problem was not really to fill the map with more exciting things, which they said they did, but it's still just such a huge map. It all looks the same. But now it's like you can drive golf carts and scooters around, which is not what I want to do in, like, a game where I'm on a deserted island.
No, for sure. I mean, I liked they added those in, but it did, like, it's not, I liked it because I'm like, they have to do something. And I remember before that we played it, and then we were kind of like, eh, and we did not play it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And even still, I think we go in, like, kind of spurts where we play it, and then we stop playing it because it's just not, it doesn't have the same appeal as the first one.
And
there are things that I really like about it. Mm-hmm. But then there are other things, like, I wish there were boats. I know that's a little thing, but I wish there was a boat that I could build. Like, you could build a houseboat in the first one.
Yeah.
And, like, I know we had a lot of fun just, like, building our boat and then sailing around.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's all kinds of things that I think could be improved upon. So I'd like it. It just, I think after the first game was very much a letdown. So that leads me to this. Do you think if you hadn't, and it's kind of hard to say, but if you hadn't played The Forest, would you, if The Forest didn't exist, mm-hmm. Sons of the Forest were a standalone game, do you think you would like it more or about the same?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like it'd probably be about the same. I would have gotten really excited for it based on all the trailers and would have gotten maybe sucked into trying to figure it out for a few weeks, but ultimately it's just not where I want it to be.
Right.
I kind of wish, I don't know, I haven't revisited the first game at all since the sequel came out, but I almost wonder, like, what if the first game just got, a shiny new graphics overhaul and kind of like a re-release. I don't know. That might be more fun for me, honestly.
Yeah, because that Sons of the Forest does look beautiful. Like the water, the sky, like everything just looks so beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it is like, I think actually the first day we were playing it, I was just like, this is stunning. Like it just looks so good. But yeah, content and story wise, just not quite as good as The Forest, I would say. But
yeah. And it's a shame too, because cut that map size in half, and I think that solves a lot of the problems.
Yeah, 100%.
So many problems could be solved by just making the map. Like in the first game, it was a pretty big map and you couldn't drive anything. You were just running on foot the whole time. And of course, your stamina depleted faster because it was a smaller map. But you could probably do a good chunk of exploring. Like you could go far away from your base. And then when the sun starts setting, you could usually get back in time. But with this game, we would after this game came out, we would get together, we'd turn it on, and we'd be like, okay, we're going to explore this now. And we'd spend 25 fucking minutes just walking, just running across the map. And by the time we got there, nothing happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the time we got there, it's just like, well, we may as well set up a save point and go. We spent all of our time running.
Yeah.
So.
Any games that we haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
Briefly, I do want to touch on the Outlast games.
Oh,
holy shit. Talk about scariest things. I cannot play these games. I tried to stream these for Sherry and Jose one time, and it was like, I'm fucking done. I'm not playing this shit.
I remember that.
Those are the scariest games in the world, but I love them. Outlast 2 especially, that's a good one where if you just want to find like a no commentary playthrough on YouTube, it's a really good story and like a scary viewing experience, and it looks amazing. So yeah, I love the Outlast games. They're intense.
Yeah, they are so intense. I was scared watching you stream them. I own both of them on PC and on my Switch. And even just looking at the title icon on my Switch freaks me out. I'm like, I can't do it. Have not got very far in it. Like, I am very much, like, I talk about being a scaredy cat, but it's games that, like, I really, like, I don't think I've ever not finished a movie because I was too scared of it. But there are games where I'm like, nope, that's not happening. And Outlast is one of them. Although I keep saying I'm going to go back to it and I'm going to play it. And in fact, recently I started playing it. And got like 15 minutes in and thought, I can't do this. I can't do it.
The thing with the Outlast games is that they lean really hard into that like unskilled protagonist thing. So they tell you at the beginning of the game, there is no combat in Outlast. Your options are run, hide, or die. So you are, every time you're playing this,
so it would be me in a game.
Yes. I was about to say, you're playing this fucking dumbass, but I only said that because I remembered the guy in the second game. He always had like these weird quips, which I hate in games. Like something horrific would happen and he'd be like, oh God, you freak. Or just something silly like that. Like Ethan Winters in the Resident Evil 7 and 8. His hand would get cut off and he'd be like, oh, fuck you, lady. Something silly like that.
Oh, God.
But yeah, those games lean really hard into like... And they're so in your face. There's like all these crazy jump scares and chase sequences, which a lot of people say are cheap. But it's like, if it scares you, they're doing their job.
Exactly. Exactly.
And there's nothing more stressful than those games.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me another game that really, really scared me that I just have to call out. Mortuary's Assistance.
Oh, yeah.
That game. That one, you are literally a mortuary assistant, and you have to work the night shift, and you have to do some embalming of some bodies, but one of the bodies is possessed, and you have to figure out which one, and it's terrifying. Like, speaking of jump scares, like, those jump scares are so effective in that game, yeah. And I remember one year doing my Extra Life marathon, and I remember Jose donating just so that I would play that game, just so he could see me be scared, because I feel like he loved watching me play that game.
Yeah, there's something off about Jose's brain chemistry that he can play these games without just having a nervous breakdown. But right. Yeah, and I think there is something too about like the scares in that game are randomized too, so it's not the same experience mm-hmm. every time. You might not get the same scares that someone else got in their
yep.
playthrough, which is always cool.
Yeah, yeah. There's apparently a few different endings that you can get of that game, and I keep thinking I'm going to go back and play it so I can get a different ending each time, and I can't bring myself to do it, so...
I make no promises. So, again, this one is maybe horror adjacent, not quite horror, but something I have a lot of love for is the game Inside by the developer Playdead, which is just amazing. And so this developer, their first game that they worked on was called Limbo. And Inside plays somewhat similarly to that. It is a like a side scroller platform puzzle solving game where you play as this boy who is navigating this bleak, scary landscape, and you have to kind of like solve puzzles to progress. You have to evade enemies. And I replayed both of these games recently because I got a Switch and they were both on sale on Switch for like $1.99. So I got them. I played Limbo again for like the third time, and I played Limbo. Did I say Limbo? I played Inside yeah. for like the third time, and I played Limbo for the first time ever, and I did not like Limbo. Just say that. No. It was, the art style's really cool. It's more simplistic than Inside. It's very like 2D, black and white, so it looks cool. But the puzzles were so infuriating in that game. It's like you have to die 1,000 times in order to figure out what to do to progress, which just pissed me off. But I would recommend the game Inside to anyone because it feels like they really perfected their game and it looks amazing. Like, it is a side-scrolling game where you can only move left or right or, you know, up and down, but it is like 3D rendered, so it is this whole world that you're seeing, and the art style is just gorgeous. Like, it's bleak and kind of horrific, and it's dystopian a little bit, but it is just a stunning work of art to look at all the way through. The animations are really well done. It is very tense. There are some like levels where the puzzle is to figure out how to get to point B without being ripped apart by dogs. So you have to like kind of figure out what to do. And if you die in this game, it is rough. Like, you have to watch a kid get dismembered by dogs or, you know, shot point blank by some dude or smothered by some guy. It's really intense.
You streamed that for Jose and I once. And it went like, I remember being like so tense watching you play it. It's awful because you're like, they're not going to kill this kid, even though it's a video game kid. They're not going to kill this kid. And then they kill the kid. Like, it's brutal. it's brutal. Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely recommend that one. It's super good. You could probably beat it in about 4 or 5 hours. And I think the developer is working on a new game, which I'm very excited about.
Okay, so well, that was going to lead me to, well, that's going to lead me to my next question. Are there any games that you're really looking forward to?
Nothing is coming to mind immediately. I know that, you know, I mentioned earlier all this Silent Hill stuff that we got on the horizon, which yeah. I'm mostly concerned about, given their track record. I know that Hideo Kojima has a couple things in the works. I think there's a game he's working on called OD, which looks, I mean, nobody knows anything about it, but it looks very bizarre and maybe like a little horror-ish. I don't know. Is there anything coming out that I'm not thinking of?
As soon as I ask that question, I'm like, I don't think I can think of anything.
Yeah.
I would love to see what Resident Evil does next, just based on Biohazard and then The Village, because yeah. they were just like incredible games. So yeah, I would love to see what happens next for them. I don't know that like how you follow those two games because they're both so different.
Yes, I agree.
But also so loved, and I don't know. I just would love to see what they follow that up with. Okay, Autopsy Simulator is coming out in May.
God, no.
Killer Clowns from Outer Space. That's an asymmetric game, so I think that's going to be like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Dead by Daylight, I believe.
Okay. You know what? I will say we had Dead by Daylight and then the Friday the 13th multiplayer game, which took that formula and just set it in, you know, the world of Friday the 13th.
Yep.
And now Texas Chainsaw is doing the same thing. They just need to make Fortnite with all the horror franchises.
They do.
Just have like go. This big mashed up world.
So this one sounds pretty interesting. It comes out in June. It's called Still Wakes the Deep. And it is it's a survival horror, but you are an offshore oil rig worker and you find yourself all by yourself on an oil rig in the North Sea during a storm. And somehow all the exits are gone, but there's something on the oil rig with you.
Mm.
So that could be good.
Oil-covered baby penguins. You gotta wash them in Dawn dish soap.
I don't. That's a side quest. How many baby penguins can you clean off?
Oh, I meant to ask you, speaking of Silent Hill 2 Remake, which is being, it was kind of outsourced from Konami to Bloober Team, which is the studio that made some psychological horror game like Layers of Fear and the Blair Witch game. Oh, so you played Layers that one, didn't you?
I've played Layers of Fear too, yeah.
Okay, yeah. What'd you think of those?
Layers of Fear was fantastic. Just like really messed up and like very psychological horror. Like as you piece together the story, things just like paintings start changing and it's I again, don't think I finished it, but really, really enjoyed it. And sorry, what was the other one you said? Oh, Blair Witch.
Blair Witch.
I really liked it.
Really?
Yeah. It gave me like, it did give me Blair Witch vibes, like obviously, mm-hmm. but like being in the forest, weird things happening, not knowing what was going on around you. I thought that was cool. I found it kind of frustrating because everything looks exactly the same. So I'd be like, yeah. Am I just walking around in circles? Like, am I actually getting somewhere?
Which so is I a big thing in the movie.
That's true. That's true. That's very true. You didn't like that game, right? You've played that game?
I'm not really qualified to have an opinion on this game because I didn't play it. I only watched it.
Oh, okay.
So I know that that's two different things. But yeah, it seemed boring. It seemed dull to me. It did look nice. I don't know. It's just like Blair Witch is such a weird thing to want to like IP, if that makes sense, like
yeah.
kind of create a fan base around, because, and I don't know. I just think if you're going to do some sort of Blair Witch style game, it has to go like P.T. went. Just like give it some weird name, like, I don't know, like Forest 12 or something. And
just don't just link like, it to Blair Witch.
Yeah, just drop it on Steam with no picture, no trailer or anything. Just like these weird, distorted, creepy images. And like, I don't know. I feel like that's what made Blair Witch scary back in the day. And yeah, I don't know. It's like when that new movie came out in like 2016 or something, Blair Witch. It was like, I don't know, they should have done something like a little more authentic or, I don't know,
right,
some cool, right, like viral marketing.
Yeah. But they're remaking it now, right? Or they're doing a reboot?
I have Blumhouse, no idea.
I think, is doing it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Of course they are.
Of course they are.
Oh, well, I did have a question for you.
Okay.
What horror franchise do you think would make for a really good horror game? Oh, and we can open this up to books too. What horror book or horror movie, ooh, not franchise, just movie or book, would you say would make a really good scary game? And I don't have an answer ready for this.
Great question.
Any other day, I'd have an answer ready to go.
I would just always go with like one of my favorites. Like, I'm like, I would love to see, you know, like Scream as a game, or Halloween as a game. I also think it would be cool if you did like The Exorcist as a game, but you had to be the priests and you had to go around and exorcise demons. But I feel like, yeah, there's better examples, better things that would.
Well, I did say, and we didn't talk about these games, but these are two games worth noting, Until Dawn and The Quarry.
Yes.
So these are super massive games that are very like horror movie inspired, where there's like a lot of diverging paths and you make choices and stuff like that. And I have said this before, they would be the perfect team to put together like a definitive Scream game.
Yes, but you it's have just said that a match, before. Yeah.
Match made in heaven. They should 100% do that.
That would be really good. Do you think that they should do, if they were to make a Scream game, would it be better if they did it? How do we always end up talking about Scream?
It's just who we are.
never fails. But do you think it would be better if they took an existing Scream story or if they made a whole new?
I think they'd have to have like a new cast.
Yeah.
New story type thing. But I mean, those games do such a good job of channeling the Scream vibe already. I don't think it'd be difficult for them. I would love that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
I would love it.
What else would be good?
Let's see. I wonder if... So there's a... We should have talked about this too. It's just coming up now, naturally, which is fine. But Puppet Combo is an indie horror game development team.
I still hate you for that.
Who makes the scariest fucking games ever. So their games are always like slasher inspired and retro style. So they do like a lot of like PS1 graphic games. Notable ones include Nun Massacre, which is horrifying. You're in this like giant decrepit what nun school, what do they call that?
A convent?
Convent. <Nun school. laughs> And this killer nun is just roaming around. It's so scary. They've done there's a really good one, Night of the Ripper, which is just that perfect like retro slasher vibe. They do a lot of slasher games. I think that they could do something really cool with like set in the Suspiria Ballet Academy or something.
That'd I was be, just gonna say, yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
A good like giallo video game would be a lot of fun. But the Suspiria one, yeah, like, because there's like so many like cool scenes in there that you could emulate, like the scene with the barbed wire, like things like that would be really fun to see in a video game, particularly like that kind of PS1, like you said, style game would be.
Oh, yeah. Puppet Combo would probably do a really good job with something like X and Pearl.
Yes.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be cool to see. What about, like, is there a ghost? Like, because you and I both love ghost stories. Yeah. Is there a good ghost story that you could see making a good game?
It's hard to say because I know a lot of good ghost movies, but do you know a lot of good ghost games? I know there's like the Fatal Frame franchise, but I never really got too deep into those. Yeah,
I've never played them.
Yeah, that's a tough one. It Follows would probably be really interesting to do some sort of story with that. I don't know how that would work, ooh, but yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
I just thought of a game that we didn't even talk about, or a series of games that we didn't talk about. Observation Duty.
Oh my god, yeah. Observation Duty. Those are fun, fun games. And that, you know, they could even adapt Paranormal Activity into that format. And that might be pretty cool. Oh,
that would be pretty cool.
So Observation Duty is basically a spot the difference game where you are scanning through security cameras in these various like houses or buildings, and you have to spot differences and report them. They can be as minor as like a cup moving from one end of the table to the other, or something crazy like a human head emerging from a toilet or you know, some ghost on the wall or something. They're fun to play with people because you're just watching so closely, and something suddenly you get this crazy jump scare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's funny. I remember when you were first talking about it, I was like, I don't see how this is scary. Like, this doesn't sound like it's going to be scary, but it can be tense. Like, I think that's it. You get so tense. Mm-hmm. And if you're flipping through your different cameras and nothing's happening, you're like, something bad's going to happen. Something bad is going to mm-hmm. happen. But yeah, those are great games. I like the idea of that as a Paranormal Activity adaptation. I could see that. That would be good.
I think they have made like some sort of Paranormal Activity game in VR, which I couldn't do.
No. Like, I already find, we talked about it, right? Horror games are already so immersive. Like, I feel like a VR game would be so much worse.
It would genuinely kill me, I think. Like, I would actually... I think I would die if I tried to do a horror game in VR.
Yeah. Yeah, that would not be good. Have I ever told you about the time I did I went to a VR room and it was like a space game. And so it wasn't scary at all. But like, so you put the headset on and literally you're in an empty room. There's nothing around you, right? Like, so like it's a big room. But then there's one part where you have to get off your ship and you have to step onto the dock or the port or whatever. And there's a gap like that's probably about this big, like so probably about like 2-3 inches like between the ship that you're stepping off to the surface that you're stepping onto. And like my stomach dropped as I was like taking that step, even though I'm like, this is all in my head. There is no gap. Like, I'm not going to fall I was just terrified. Like, my stomach literally dropped because there's nothing underneath me. No,
I've read that people who play VR for a while have like a higher chance of having lucid dreams when they go to sleep because it literally tricks your brain into thinking like, oh, you are in this space, so that when you go to sleep and you have a dream, you're like, you still retain that autonomy. Which is very interesting.
That is interesting.
And I know we mentioned on the last episode the whole Five Nights at Freddy's thing, which recently became a movie. We still haven't done that for movie night, but I feel like we'll do that soon.
Yeah. Did you ever play that game?
I did play Five Nights at Freddy's, and again, it's one of those things where it's too fucking scary. And I know it's nothing complex, and it's not like something that I don't think it's a bad game, and I don't think it's a masterpiece. It just does something very simple, and it does it very well,
right?
Which is just that, first of all, it's the suspense of kind of like Observation Duty, where you're scanning these security cameras, keeping an eye on these animatronics. But then there's that whole level that comes into it where you have to manage like your power use with holding the door shut and checking over both shoulders, which is nerve-wracking. Yeah, and those games too, they have like a lot of really creepy lore when you think about it. When you I don't know, get into those different videos and their sequels, there's like all these weird little bizarre backstories that pop up, and so yeah, I dig it. I do. I don't think it's just for kids. I actually think Five Nights at Freddy's is pretty cool because it's gotten a lot of kids into horror.
Like, yeah,
it's horror for the new generation, which is fine. They can have it. We get Scream.
They can have that. It's so weird to me that like Sam and Tara are the new, like, this youngest generation's Sydney. Like, that's
wild. Not anymore. But,
yeah, fair. All right. Did we miss anything? I feel like there's so many games that we could talk about. I actually just brought up my list of games that I have on my PC only. And it's wild, the amount of horror games. And some of them are terrible.
Yeah.
Like, I have a game called The Texorcist. I shouldn't say it's terrible. It's just I didn't play it for very long. But, like,
there's get out so here.
Many games.
Go on, get. I didn't even know that was a game.
It is a game. It's a game. It's text-based, surprisingly, or not.
Oh, the Texorcist.
Yeah.
I was thinking of, like, Texas.
Oh. I was wondering, I'm like, where did the accent come from? But okay, I'll go with it. Sure.
The Texorcist.
It makes sense now.
Oh, man.
Anything we missed that you want to talk about?
No, visual novels, there's a lot of horror visual novels out there that I have been kind of wanting to dip my toes into. And I think I'm going to start doing that because, you know, visual novels don't have combat. They're just telling you a story, so I don't have to be too scared, but, I've heard that there's some good ones out there. Yeah, so I'm going to look into that. Maybe I feel like we're going to have to do another video game episode at some point just to expand on some of the things that we started talking about here, but didn't want to spend too much time on.
Maybe we'll do a whole Silent Hill episode, a whole Resident Evil episode.
Yeah.
For sure. Awesome.
Yeah, I think we'll have to.
Yeah. Kudos to you for doing like research and knowing like, you know, the origin of Silent Hill and where it came, like, you know, how it came about. And
it was not a lot of research. I watched like a couple YouTube videos. I put them on to like listen to just get like a refresher while I was on a walk or something. But a lot of it too is just I actually used to be super passionate about the Silent Hill games. Something that I didn't even mention is that, you know, The Mist was the first Stephen King book I ever read, and Silent Hill took a lot of inspiration from Stephen King and The Mist, of course, with the fog-laden town. The first, like, real monster you encounter is that bird thing that smashes through the diner, like, in The Mist. And in that diner, it's so, like, low pixel that you can't even really make it out, but there are posters of, like, Stephen King on the wall. I love those games. Also, random trivia that is just so funny to me. There's a level in the first Silent Hill game where you explore a school. And
yes, that school, I remember that.
It is modeled 100%, like every detail down to what's hanging on the walls, and like the layout of the school is modeled after the school in Kindergarten Cop for some reason. Like, they were just fans of that movie, so they just decided to make that school because they wanted, like, an American set town, even though it was a Japan-based game. That's kind of cool.
Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. Awesome.
That's all I got for now.
Well, let us know what your favorite horror video games are. We didn't even talk. We just talked about video games. I mean, there's like horror board games and all kinds of stuff. But let us know what your favorite video games are. Let us know if you disagree with some of the things that we raved about, or maybe some of the things that we weren't so happy about. But You can catch us on Twitter at CatScaredy and on Instagram at SecurityCats the podcast. Subscribe wherever you find podcasts, and don't forget to let us know what you think by leaving us a review. And until next time, stay scared.
Bye.